Today it is actually, today's culture, it's even harder to define what is a man. Like if I asked a group of guys that question, they would make a list and there'd be different things, and a lot of it would be wrong, right? A lot of it would be maybe things that are external things, that like what it means to be a man, and the things you can do. But the reality, masculinity has nothing to do with your size, your brute. I turned into Canadian, eh? All right. What's that old boot? All right. This is how we're going to do it today. All right. So it doesn't have anything to do with your strength, your growed beard. Hey, I'm Tim. How's everybody doing? We're talking about what it means to be a man. I've used all my words. They're all gone. So let me start again. Has nothing to do with your brute, with your ability to grow a beard, your size, your depth or height of your voice. It doesn't matter if you can chop wood or break a stick, right? Like there's all these things that we talk about that is manly, but that doesn't matter. I mean, you could be a man and paint with watercolors or little happy trees, or you can be a guy that puts tattoos on the backs of men. It doesn't matter. When we're talking about manliness, there's a definition that we're going to understand as we go through this series that has nothing to do with those things. It has nothing to do with externals or what you're capable of doing or growing or whatever it might be, okay? We want to learn what it means to be a godly man, a man's man in the kingdom of God, and that's what we're going to talk about, okay? Is everybody with me? Yeah. Now that I'm using the right words? All right. So there's this verse. I want to start with this verse, kind of theme for the whole series in 1 Corinthians 16. It says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. That's where it starts, men. It's where it starts. Stand firm in the faith. That's the foundation of true manlihood. It's where our identity is found. And so often it's found in so many different things. But man, when it's found firm in faith, then you say, act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. This is our key verse for this series, okay? We're going to learn how to do some of these things. And standing firm in the faith, say this phrase with me, men, all right? We're going to learn how to act like men, okay? That is the goal, to get our man card. So we understand what that means. And today we're talking about just the beginning of the conversation, two things I think every man needs to go through, and really all of us need to go through, but every man needs to go through so that you can answer some of the most important questions of your masculinity, okay? Now, preface here. Now, ladies in the room, I want you to listen to the messages because it's not like, okay, again, they're doing a series. It's about men. I'm a woman. I don't know if I'm going to learn anything. You're going to learn a lot, honestly. A lot of the things I'm talking about, you will want in your own life as you journey through life. And there's things you're going to want in your man's life. So give me a promise, ladies, especially if you have a significant other sitting next to you. During my messages, none of this, okay? Leave your elbow to yourself, keep it planted, all right? So, like, don't be like, that's you, you know, you need to fix that or whatever. You talk afterwards, have a good conversation, but don't point fingers. Now, men, I want you to be ready to be open-handed for whatever God wants to say to you during this series, okay? If there's something he wants you to step into, if there's something that he's challenging you in, if there's something in your past you're like, dang, I got to get that right, I want you to just be ready, whatever God may want to say to you in this series, okay? Are we all in agreement? Can we do that? Yep, awesome. Okay, so let's walk into this. My journey into manhood and learning what a man is wasn't easy. I mean, my grown-up years were pretty difficult. I wouldn't say very difficult. I wasn't abused as a kid. I had good parents, and I had a good dad, but there were things in my boyhood that I had to figure out on my own that I wish I didn't have to. I've talked about in the last years how, like, I have a great relationship with my dad. And we've made a lot of things right over the last, you know, 5-10 years, and it's awesome. It's awesome. But growing up, my dad wasn't present all that much. He was a pastor, and he was busy doing ministry and helping other people. And when he got home, he was tired, and we just didn't do a whole lot together. And so I had to learn a lot of things on my own. Some of it was good. Some of it was destructive. Some things I wish I would have never gone through, seen, experienced. That created wounds and patterns in my life that I had to figure out how to break when I grew up, and what that meant and what that looked like. I think inside of every single man, there is still this 12-year-old boy that's looking for and asking very specific questions in life. And so many men have never had these questions that we're going to ask answered in their life. And so on my journey, I've seen 13-year-olds that act like men and 40-year-olds that act like boys, right? It doesn't have to do with age. There is a process that we can go through that God wants to take us through so that we can break past wounds from failure, sin, habits, broken friendships, stupid decisions we've made in our past as men, that we can walk into something better out of prolonged adolescence into true manliness and manhood. Like, we can go on that journey together if we so choose, okay? And that process that we're going to talk about, if you got your sermon notes out, just few fill in the blanks. I got it all out. A few fill in the blanks. This is the journey of masculinity. Okay, the journey of masculinity is that of validation and initiation. This idea I learned a long time ago from a book called Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. He's a great guy, awesome leader, shepherd, and he helps men become men with all the things he's done. And in this book, he talked about this whole process of validation and initiation. There are key questions that every man asks themselves and struggles with and wants to get to the other side of. And they are the questions of validation and initiation. Am I loved and accepted, and do I have what it takes? Are the two big questions for every man. Okay? We're going to dig deeper into that in just a minute, because I believe we live in a culture and society, especially today, where we have very few men who have answered those questions and walked into validation as a man and initiation as something bigger than themselves. And when you don't do that, you just live for yourself, and you just like live into the struggles you've always had, and you keep repeating what you've always gone through. It's time for some of us to walk through validation and initiation in some new ways, okay, to figure out if we have what it takes. I think today's generation, it's interesting, man. Oh, man, I mentioned this in the first sermon. It's not in my notes, but thinking about like this generation, we have men and boys who get online and get on a gaming platform, and they go to war in a virtual realm with guns and battling, and they're trying to win and have victory, and yet it's this imaginary thing. And I just think just a few generations ago, 16-year-olds were going to actual war over in actual places with guns in hand fighting for freedom. There's a difference in that journey, right? There are things that are real and proven, and there's things that are like imaginary and give us a sense of manliness and manhood, but aren't actually bringing us to what real manhood is. It's this imaginary kind of boyhood thing. I want us to act like men. Like, walk into this. Anybody ever heard of this thing called Tough Mudder? It's this competition, it's like kind of like this warrior competition where these groups get together and they like go onto these fields in the middle of nowhere and they climb through mud holes underneath like barbed wire and then up the sides of giant buildings and ropes, and they go to the end and they're competing against each other. And by the end, you're bruised, you're bloody, you're dirty, you're muddy, and it's like, you know, like you've done something. And there was a guy who was a part of the beginnings of this thing called Tough Mudder, and I think he has it right when he's talking about this thing with manliness in this culture that we're in. This is what he said. He said, "We don't know if we are really that tough anymore. We don't have fist fights. We don't chop wood. Life has become convenient and easy. At Tough Mudder, we get a lot of what we call the fight club male, the 25 to 40-year-old guy in a white-collar job who hasn't been scared and hasn't been muddy and wet." He keeps going. He says, and they wants to test himself to see to see what he's made of, to prove that even though he's 38, has a roller bag, and has a door on a minivan that closes by itself, he still has this inner badass. It is the visceral sense of accomplishment that handling this Q2 report doesn't give you, right? Like, I think he has it right here. But like, we're comforted away from the things that just a couple of generations was daily life, that we just have comforted away a sense of masculinity. I'm not going to say everything that happened two generations ago was masculine or that it was right, but there were some questions that were answered back then that most men these days or the generation coming don't have to answer. They can go through life comfortable and thinking about today, right? And we're going to talk about the difference between a boy and a man. And it is this process of validation an initiation. It's going through life answering two valuable, important questions. Now, as men in the room, I want to remove all excuses for us. Because some of us are where we are because of things that have happened in our life, in our past. Some of us are who we are because we didn't have dads, or we had abusive dads, or we had men in our life that didn't show up, that didn't teach us anything, and we had to figure out on our own. We created habits and hang-ups and addictions and situations in our life that were just bad decision after bad decision. And if we live a life now just blaming and excusing because of what I did or did not have, you will just repeat what you've already gotten. Okay? You will not become a man. You'll keep repeating your own abuse because you've accepted the excuse of what's been done to you by others. You got to drop the excuses, okay? And I'm going to drop the excuses with one verse in Scripture, that we can no longer blame anybody else or blame our fathers or blame some men in our life. We can't do that because we have been given something greater than any earthly father will ever give you. We've been adopted as sons and daughters by a heavenly Father who is perfect, who knows exactly what he's doing and wants to answer the most important identity questions in your and my life. This is what he says to us in 2 Corinthians 6:18. This is God himself. He says, "I will be a father to you." This is for all of us in the room. He says, "I will be a father to you." Your father might not have been perfect. Your father might have been great. But no matter what, they were not God, right? God says, "I will now father you. And you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I love that it ends with that phrase. The Lord what? The Lord all weekly? No. The Lord all, say with me, Almighty. This is the strong God. This is the strong Heavenly Father who knows, sees, loves. He knows exactly what you need. And he wants to father you. So if you are fatherless, or maybe your father didn't do great, or maybe he did great, no matter what, we need to drop any excuse because we have a Heavenly Father who wants to father us and walk with us on a journey to answer these key masculine manhood questions in our life. We're going to see here in a minute how God did it with his son Jesus and shows us a pattern of then what he does with us as well, okay? So if you have your Bibles with you, go to the book of Matthew, okay? Everybody grab your Bible or download a Bible app on your phone. I always say, read your Bibles, right? Like, if you just come and read your Bible on Sundays when we preach on it and that's it, that's like trying to eat one meal a week and trying to survive the rest of the week. Will you be hungry? Yes. Will you be starving? Yes. That's what happens spiritually. Get in your Bibles, right? So get to the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Probably go to the middle and a little bit over. In Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see God, the Heavenly Father, taking his son Jesus on this process of validation and initiation, okay? And these are the questions. You guys ready to write down some things? If you are, say yep. Yeah. All right. So let's first talk about validation. Validation asks and answers these two key questions for men in the room. Do you love me? And are you pleased with me? Welcome to the 12-year-old boy in every man. These are the two questions we want our dads to answer. Do you love me? And are you pleased with me? Right? We long for that. I mean, even as an adult, if somebody comes to me and validates me and says, "Tim, man, I love you, man. I'm so happy with you." That just does something to my heart. I'm like 40-something. I don't know how old I am. I always forget. I just know I'm over 40, and then someday I'll be over 50, and that's how I count my age, all right? Because there is something inside of us that longs for the answers to this question, right? I want to know I'm loved no matter what I do. Like, whether I'm living perfectly or I'm still messing up and I don't have it all right yet, like, I just want to know, do you love me? And are you pleased with me? Like, are you satisfied in me and with me? And we see that God answered this question for his son Jesus. And he answers it for us as if he's fathering us. He does the same thing in our life, okay? So let's see what happened in this scene in Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Okay, let me paint the picture for this whole idea of validation. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus at this point has done no miracles. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't gone and preached the gospel or the kingdom of heaven's come near or like gone. Like he hasn't done any of his ministry yet. He's about to start, but he hasn't yet, okay? And so in Matthew chapter 3, we see John the Baptist. He's not because he went to a Baptist church, all right? That's not why. He was really John the Baptizer. Like, he was the one out in the wilderness preparing for the Messiah to come. And he's out preaching. The kingdom of heaven's coming near. He's going to show up. The Messiah is on his way. Like, that's what he was doing. He was baptizing people into this new kingdom out in the wilderness. When all of a sudden, Jesus, the Messiah, and John the Baptizer knows it, comes and wants to be baptized. Talk about pressure. Would you baptize the Son of Heaven? Yeah. You know, like, I'd be nervous. And, like, he's like, I can't do that. And he's like, no, if you don't do it, you won't be with me. He's like, okay. So John the Baptist, like, he baptizes Jesus in the water. Man, this scene right here is powerful. This is one of the scenes that we see in Scripture, the Trinity present. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three interacting together. This is such a cool moment. And listen to the words very closely of what the Heavenly Father says, okay? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." Do you hear these words? This is a moment of validation from a father to a son. Jesus had not started his ministry yet. It wasn't like Jesus did a whole bunch for his heavenly father. It's like, okay, do you love me now? I did all this stuff. I'm like trying to do your will. It's like before any of that happened. At this point, he was just taking the first step. So his heavenly father's like, I already love you. Like, I know you're going to do stuff. I know you're going to walk in obedience. I know you're going to do, you're going to sacrifice your life. You're going to do all these things. No matter what, I love you. You're my son. I just love you. And I'm so pleased in you. This is validation. This is what we all long for, really, right? We all long to hear these words. And the thing is, we have a Heavenly Father that says these words to us. Do you know how much he loves you? It cost him his son to prove that he loves you. He paid a lot for his love for you. And he did it before you earned any of it. He has spoken, I love you. And I am pleased with you. And then we go, well, but I'm messing up, and I'm not doing it right, and I keep doing that stupid thing, that addiction that I keep going back to. He's like, I know. I love you. And I'm pleased with you. And we always wrestle with, but no, I got to earn it, though. I got to be good enough for you to, like, I got to, that's what we do. Because that's what we try to do on this earth. We try to do it with our parents. Like, we try to earn love. We try to earn their acceptance. We try to earn that with other people and friendships and relationships. Like, that's what we do. And yet, our Heavenly Father saying, no, I validate you. And the men in the room, you need to hear this loud and clear. You have already been validated by the King of all kings, the Father of all fathers, for all of eternity has spoken, I love you, my son, and I am pleased with you. That's the beginning of your identity. You don't earn it. And you don't try to earn it back. It's already there. It's already been given. Okay, y'all with me? Yeah. Okay, good. Validation. Do you love me and are you pleased with me? Now we see something interesting happen right after this. Because again, he hadn't started his ministry yet. And now the challenge comes. Go to the top of chapter 4. And Jesus answers this question, or God answers this question through a process of initiation. And this question is, but do I have what it takes? I'm loved and accepted, but do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to, like, do something with my life, to accomplish what this Heavenly Father is pointing me towards, this thing that's bigger than me. Do I have what it takes? This is the journey of a man. Some men try to answer that question in some of the stupidest ways possible. Have you ever watched America's Funniest Videos? This question gets answered in the stupidest ways on all those videos, right? It's like, do I have what it takes? Hold my beer. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, that's not what we're talking about, all right? This isn't like ramping your bike and like breaking an arm. Like, this is like, do you have what it takes to succeed in life, to make a difference, right? To be a man. And this is the process that we're going to see with now the son, with Jesus. Right after this is what it says in Matthew 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now, this is a challenging thing. We see the Trinity still at work here. Now, Jesus is being led by the Spirit. So the Spirit's leading him to his next thing, which is this whole journey of, do I have what it takes to be tempted by the devil? You got to be kidding me. So after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Durr, right? Like, would you not be hungry after fasting 40 days and 40? Like, I will fast for one day and the devil can tempt me with a cookie, right? Like Jesus is 40 days, 40 nights fasting because he wants to answer, do I have what it takes? The tempter so comes to him and he said, if you are the Son of God. Stop right there. Welcome to the plight of the enemy. This is his goal and has been from the very beginning in the fall of the Garden of Eden. Satan wants to attack your identity. He wants to attack the first question, which is, are you loved and are you pleasing, right? That's what he did in the garden. Adam and Eve had everything perfect. Come on, why'd they screw it up for us, right? And yet the serpent, Satan, comes in and says, why aren't you eating from this fruit? And it's like, well, you know, we're not supposed to. And he says, oh, really? And he challenges their identity. You would be like God. He doesn't want you to be like him. So why don't you eat from the apple, for the fruit, or, you know, whatever it says in the fruit. And we think it's an apple, but. And boom, the fall. Sin enters in. And it was that temptation of identity. If. That is the beginning word of the enemy in so many of our hearts and lives and minds. If you, who you think you are, if you believe that God really loves you, right? This validation process, the enemy will most likely attack the initiation of I'm loved and I found pleasing to my Heavenly Father. He says, if you are the Son of God, trying to attack what he just heard from his Heavenly Father, right? Then tell these stones to become bread. If I were Jesus, that would have been a pretty high temptation. And I'm sure Jesus' bread is really good bread, right? It's not like the leftover crunchy stuff. It's like, no, this is like King's Hawaiian. You know what I'm talking about? Like those rolls, there's, oh, anything on that bread's good, right? So it's like Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He has an answer because he already has the voice of God inside of him. He already knows the word of God. So any attack against the word of God is already disproven by the word of God. I'm telling you, men and women in the room, if you don't know the word of God, your defense is broken. The enemy can poke and do all sorts of things because you don't know what it says. You don't know what God has already said, because when you speak truth against the lie has to leave. And so we see this in this identity attack and this validation. Do I have what it takes? He has what it takes because he knows God's word. So that is the foundation of faith we talked about in the very first verse. Act like a man. Know the word of God so that when the enemy comes and attacks, you are already ready. Your defenses are already up. You're already protected. Jesus says, no. That's not how it works. And then Satan takes him up to a temple and says something. He takes him up to a mountain. And in the mountain, Satan says, I tell you what. I will give you all of this. Everything you see, this whole kingdom can be yours if you just bow down and worship me. So Satan's asking Jesus to bow down to him. Is that mind-blowing to you? But the thing is, we don't understand the actual temptation in that moment because we wouldn't have known what Jesus knew. Jesus was given the offer to have all this kingdom without going to the cross, without paying the price for our sins on the cross, without the separation from his Heavenly Father in that moment of just conquer. Like, He wouldn't have to go through any of that. You can have it now. Do you hear the temptation? He could have said, that sounds like a better deal. See, so many of us men in the room, we take the better deal just to follow Satan and just to squash the validation as sons of the Most High King. I want to be like Jesus. And when the question's asked of me, do I have what it takes? I can say, yes. Because Jesus responded finally in this last one. He says, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. Boom. Initiation finished. This is my son. I already love him. I'm already pleased with him. Now, do I have what it takes? The testing began. Temptation, temptation, temptation. Yep, Jesus has what it takes. He answered the question, right? All of us in this room, men or women, go through those same things in our life. I'm saying for men, this is a deeper thing in our masculinity to answer that question. When we start to walk with God and walk with other men beside us as we walk with God, we start to learn what it means. Do I have what it takes? We start finding the right answers to that question instead of continually going back and cycling into the things that we learned in boyhood. Okay? Because that's what we got to break. So many of us, we need to break those cycles that we keep going back to for some stupid reason. Why do we do it? Anybody ever beat themselves up, right? Like, it's like, whether it's physically, I don't know how you do that. Like, then you look weird. Anyways, but mentally and emotionally, we beat ourselves up. But we want to go on this journey from a boy to a man. This is the way Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 13. The Apostle Paul, man, this is such a good verse. Maybe some of you need to put this on your refrigerator or on your mirror in the morning. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, and reason like a child. Good argument. When I was a kid, I acted, thought, and looked like a kid. Like, that's how it was. But when I became a man, I did away with the childish things. Who wants to become a man? Yes. Thank you. Who wants to become a man? Yes. All right, I should hear a lot of deeper voices. If you got a high one too, it's okay, right? That's I said, it doesn't matter, but that's what we want to do. We want to say, no, before I was a boy, I did childish things. I lived in childish way. I lived for myself. That's what boys do. Boys live for themselves. Each day as if, here I am. What can I get out of today, right? Men live differently. They look differently. So I want to just talk about one. I actually kind of led into this one in the last series. I just want to talk about it very quickly this morning, okay? So you can fill in this blank. When we're talking about the difference between a child to an adult, right? A boy to a man has a vision for his life while a boy lives one day at a time, okay? A man has a vision for his life, right? A man says, I know where I'm at. I don't want to be certain ways that I am now. I want to be over here, and I have a vision for what that's going to look like. A man says, I know what I want for my family and those following me, whether I have a family or I'm a coworker or whatever I am, those around me, I have a vision for where I want them to be and where I want to help them get, right? I'm looking towards something bigger. A boy just thinks about today, right? A boy is waiting for recess after lunch. That's what a boy does, right? I can't wait to get done with this so I can go play, you know? Like, because all you're thinking about is today and pleasure and comfort, and that's what a boy does. That's why I say I know some 13-year-old men and some 40-year-old boys, because it's a mindset, it's a mentality, and it's a way you live your life. A man has a vision, is looking towards something, has goals. We're going to talk about some of those in the next couple of weeks. But a boy is all about today. A boy spends all they have on today. They end the day with zero because they're not thinking about what they're taking into tomorrow, right? A man says, no, I'm not going to spend down to zero emotionally, relationally, financially, in my work. Like, I'm going to use what I have today to point towards and invest in the thing I want to experience tomorrow, next week, next year, 20 years from now, right? Here's a quote by P.K. Bernard. He says, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. That's a good quote, isn't it? And there's a lot of truth there. If you're not looking towards something, you're going to just go back to what you already know. And that's why I said we have to remove all excuses of our childlike behavior, the hang-ups, the hurts, the addictions, the cycles of abuse that we create with the people around us, of our own pleasure and comfort. Like, we got to, if we have nothing to look for, we'll just go right back to it because that's comfortable. We got to see something better. I want to give you just a tiny glimpse, okay? Today is just, we're starting the foundation, just a tiny glimpse of a better vision for you as a man. And it's in Titus. It's in the book of Titus where Titus is being taught, this is what you need to teach the men, right? This is what they should look like. Here's a vision, right? And so let me read this as we kind of wrap up this morning as we talk about this. In Titus 2, first he talks to the older men and then he talks to the younger men. And this is what he describes. He says, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. This is a good picture. This is a good vision of some things to point towards as a man, right? I don't know, we don't get an age bracket when he says older men. We don't know if that means like 18 and older, or we don't know if that's like 50s and 60s, or but no matter what, this is a good vision for us to be as old men, right? He says older men are to be temperate. Temperate means that like when life goes crazy and sideways and upside down, they respond like this. They're temperate. Their emotions aren't like this with the situations that they go through. They are steady in the response to life as it comes at them, right? That's temperate. They're dignified. It's this idea of being above reproach. It's like people respect them because of what they see in their life. They live in a way that is dignified. They're sensible. I like this word, sense. We don't use that word a lot. Like, well, he's a sensible man, you know? Like, but sensible means that, like, you're making wise choices, right? You're making the right choices. You're not just living for a choice that makes you comfortable right now. You're saying, well, yeah, I could do that, and that'd be comfortable, or it would be like an escape for me because I don't like the reality. Like, sensible is, no, I'm going to make the right choice right now. I'm going to be wise in the way I live. Sound in faith. That goes back to the rock and the foundation we talked about at the beginning. Like, if you want to be wise, you got to be in the most wise book ever. You got to know God's wisdom. You got to be sound in your faith. Like, faith is that trust in all of who God is and assurance in him, right? That's faith. You're founded in it, in love. And love gets this frou-frou kind of thing. It's like, that's not what we're talking about. Like, real love is giving up your life for another. That's the ultimate view and picture of love. I don't know anything more manly than that. So live in such a way that you are willing to give up your things, your life, your comforts to help others. In perseverance, that means when life goes hard, you're not going to give up. You're going to keep pressing on. This is a vision of manhood, right? Of manliness, masculinity that we can walk into. Then he keeps going later on in verse 6. He's talking to the young guys. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. There's that word again. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. This is countercultural for young men in this generation, right? Like, do good stuff. And don't feel like you're going to be looked at like goody two-shoes. Well, they're the teacher's pet. It's like, yeah, and I'm getting good grades. Sorry. You know, like you know what I'm saying? Like, do the good stuff. Do good deeds. Serve other people, right? With purity. A word that is needed today. Purity means not veering to the left or the right to please anybody else, but to please my Heavenly Father above all things. I'm going to live in purity in doctrine, meaning you know who God is, you know who Jesus is, you know who the Holy Spirit is, you know the Word of God, you study, you read, you're sound in your doctrine. Dignified, there's that word again, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. So you're not just spewing stuff out, ripping people to pieces. Like, you're being steady so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. This is a vision that I think we can all look towards as men. These are good qualities to start to point towards. And so you can take a self-assessment. You can go back to Titus and list those things and say, how am I doing? 0 to 10. How am I doing in purity? How am I doing in knowing God's word? How am I doing in... And you can rate yourself and say, okay, now I have a vision of where to start to go. So I'm not just counting to zero every day. This is just a small picture of what it can look like for us to walk into validation. Am I loved and am I pleasing? The answer is yes, from your Heavenly Father. Initiation, do I have what it takes? That's up to you, right? This is where now the rubber hits the road. Do you have what it takes? God's given you everything you need, so he's not lacking anything for you. You now have the choice to walk into the things that is a better vision for your life as a man, okay? To lead with love those around you and to lead them towards something better than what they have today and lead them closer to this Heavenly Father who's already validated you and that they can walk into that validation too. That's the goal. So the beginning to start to learn how to get your man card. And God, thank you for this word, just the start to this conversation, God. And I know this morning there are many of us in this room that needed to hear this. I know there's people in this room that needed to hear straight from you, and I pray that it is straight from your heart to them, that you love them and you are pleased with them. If they keep arguing with you in that, saying, no, you don't, no, you don't, God, I pray that you just keep saying it louder and louder and louder to the depths of their heart, that they know you have paid it all to prove your love to them, and your desire is to walk with them, and that you're pleased with them as a son and as a daughter. Help us live into that truth. And God, right now, I challenge us as men. It's time to step up. Challenge us. I just want to talk to the guys just for a moment, and just a moment of challenge. Because there's one thing I've seen in all the years of ministry that I've done and been a part of, and I'm pushing on like 20-something years in ministry. And I've seen so many times, especially men, try to figure this stuff out on their own. Because they think, if I'm going to be a man, I got to man up and just do it by myself. And I'll just, let me be blunt with you, that's stupid. It is. It's just stupid. You need to humble yourself and realize you need some other men around you. There's this verse in Proverbs that is a key verse for our men's group here. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, okay? We have a ministry here for men called The Forge, and it's based off of that passage. It's where men challenge men and hold men accountable to continue to grow and have a vision for their life. So often when you try to do it on your own, you will fail, and then you'll give up, and you'll go back to repeat what you already know. If you don't have men in your life, you need some guys to go on this journey with. Every Thursday here at this church, we have a group of guys that are doing that. Every week, they wrestle. They don't wrestle. They don't actually like wrestle, but like they wrestle with realities, where they're at. You know, they talk through it. They're real with each other. They accept each other, no matter what your story is. And then they journey together. How do we do this thing? And so I want to encourage you, if you've been trying to do it yourself, stop it. Don't be stupid. Get into a group of guys. Every Thursday night here, you can experience that here at New Hope. Because it's in community with other guys where you will actually start to get sharpened. Okay? It's where you will find acceptance in a way that you didn't know was possible with a group of guys. And so I would say take the step and jump in. And for all of us in this room, you know, next week we're going to continue in this conversation, next couple of weeks. If there are things that you know that you're sick and tired of going back to, Make a decision today to stop. Not saying today you're going to make a decision to be perfect. That's probably not possible. But you can make a decision to stop and take the steps you need to so that you can prove that you have what it takes and start that journey. But don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. And I'll talk to the women just for a second in the room. Let your guy be a guy. Don't make him into a girl. You will actually love him all the more when you see him start to lead in ways that you didn't think he was going to. So let him lead. As long as he's doing it in love, in humility, and he's growing, man, when he leads you, reward it. What gets rewarded gets repeated. So bless him. You can say, I love you, and I'm pleased with you. And you'll be speaking to the heart of your man in a way that he will love you all the more for it, okay? All right. So God, thank you for this encouraging word. Thank you for the truth. We know that when we hear truth in your word or truth for us personally that we need to grow in, we know that truth sets us free. And so help us walk into your truth every day this week, that we would find freedom to be all that you called us to be. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Remember, said amen? Amen. Awesome.